Welcome everyone to Electronic Talks episode 15. Today we have a label head, a record company founder, a record store owner, and also a DJ and artist in his own right here with us. It is none other than Viktor Slimvik Seiner. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How are you doing today?
I am fine, thanks. It's the first time I be in Stockholm for a very long time, so a little bit nervous to be back here.
Yes. You were driving in the snow.
In the snow, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like yesterday we had really sunny and super fine weather in Gävle, where I live. So it's a little bit of shock to wake up this morning. But
excellent.
That was fine.
And I think it's super exciting to have you here because we've been talking to a lot of Stockholm-centric artists and producers previously. So, and you are kind of spearheading a movement in Gävle, you could say. You also have a podcast where you talk with the local producers and a label, of course, L'Amour Records.
Yes.
And it all sprang out. To go back to the start, kind of, we sprang out of a club. Is that correct? Or
yes, it was around 2008, and at that time I was working at the Institute of Digital Arts in Gävle. We produced a lot of concerts, and it was very creative collective of people. And it was at some point I felt that I needed a space to do more whatever I want. So I founded the Club L'Amour.
Okay.
With and we focused on independent DJs, live electronics and VJs.
Yeah.
That were more up and coming and that focused really on the creative process. So. And at that time, 2008, I was really into the French new rave scene with Ed Banger, Danger, Daft Punk. And
I was so into that at that time.
Yes.
So I was lucky. I was in Paris around 2007, 8, so I was just watching everything that I could.
Also the aesthetic around it. The colorful artwork and everything. So that's... where the name L'Amour came from.
Yes.
And of course it was meant all the artists are really love what they are doing. Then we went on for some years. We also moved the club to Stockholm after some years at Fylkingen. And went into more experimental part.
Yeah,
More live electronics and more art music, and it was until 2012 the L'Amour Records started with the first release.
Yes,
and after that, that's been around 150 releases.
That's amazing.
That's a little bit too much.
No, really?
Yeah. But it's too much good music produced out there. And it's not only connected to Gävle. We have several artists here in Stockholm, and Malmö, Berlin, and so on. So.
Excellent. And you yourself, you've been playing as well, many, many times, over 1,000 times, I guess. You're DJing and performing in different ways. Were you doing that previous to the club as well, or was that kind of in connection that you started...
I started DJing around the millennium, and that's I focused on DJing. That was what I did every weekend. I played a lot in Gävle and also around some clubs in Sweden and so on. So that's the only thing that I felt really good at to DJ. And then I start work at the Institute of Digital Arts. I became more and more interested of the art music and the electroacoustic music. And we had a lot of now legendary composers as teachers.
Connected
to the Lars Gunnar Bodin, Sten Hansson, Natasha Barrett, and a lot of other people also. So I, at that point, started to be more interested in the experimental of producing music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So beside my house and techno tracks, did some more experimental stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was, I started pretty late because I was DJing so much. Yeah. And my first album was released 7 years ago only. So it was a long way to feel that I have comfort with the production skills. So.
Is that, so you think, was that the reason why it took so long for you to release the first album, that you wanted to feel secure or?
Yeah, from the beginning I produced a lot of house and techno tracks. And in some way I always was 1, 2, 3 years late when I was really completed with a new track or a new concept. Mm-hmm. It the sound was already over.
Yeah, right.
Maybe because I was living in Gävle, that I wasn't up to date with all styles and everything. But I had a contract deal around 2004, maybe, from a big Swedish label that wanted to sign House Banger.
Yeah, right.
And they
right.
only needed a track for the B-side on the vinyl.
Okay, yeah.
At that moment, I was so happy, like, finally, now I can travel all around the world and be super famous. Mm-hmm. But the track for the B-side, up till then, I only produced music because I really felt this is what I really love to do. Mm-hmm. And then I had some, then I needed to produce a certain way of track.
Yeah.
And I couldn't produce it. Oh. I sent over some files, but nothing was good enough. So the contract is still unsigned.
I see.
So
that's super interesting, though. That's an interesting legacy story, kind of.
Yeah, and maybe that's if I would have released that record and maybe pretend that I was going to be a hit, and I don't think I was prepared to travel all around the world at that point because I was too young and didn't know anything about the world.
So what changed when you started your own label and you had the creative control? I mean, that's the complete opposite scenario from having to do something in a mold for this other label, right?
Yes, many other labels, they are started from artists they couldn't been signed anywhere. No, but it was to have the full control. It was a relief, of course, that I could release any kind of music that I thought was really good, not only from myself, but from other friends and so on. And but it's not just about the music. It's just it's about the collective also. Yeah. When we living in a small town, you need to have the people around you that help you.
Yeah,
and. I know that the power of helping people is super strong because if you help someone, you get the help back.
Yeah.
And you need all the help you can get to like survive in a small city and have really fun at the same time. And you must feel safe. And the collective is getting really strong and not only like house music producer or like dubstep producer. Mm-hmm. We people from different ages, like both art music and video VJs, different artists. So there's a lot of like cultural collective connected to L'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there even before L'Amour started.
Yeah.
It was connected to the institute that I worked with. And also before that, in the 80s, there was a lot of electronic festivals in the city. And and the history goes on and on the more you look back. So
I think that's super interesting that there is this local community building up and collaborating like over certain borders, like art and music and so on.
Yeah.
And what would you say like, is particular about the scene in Gävle for you?
I think it's unique because there's so many artists that are on a level that are so high and release music that got attention from like national radio, but mm-hmm. clubs and DJs from all around the world. And of course, like Malmö, Göteborg and Stockholm, of course, have a lot more artists. But if there's around 100,000 people living in Gävle, and we have, I don't know, 20, 30 artists that release EP, singles, albums, continuous. Yeah. And also the artists that from the beginning maybe was into rock and pop music see that, okay, we have a scene here for electronic music. So they start to experiment with the with their sound and style. Mm-hmm. And finally, sometimes they produce really good music also. Mm. So they like leave their rock and pop scene and get into the electronic scene. And that's really happy for us because the community is getting bigger. And
yeah, I think that's very exciting. And that shows kind of an people being open-minded as well, being able to do that crossing.
Yeah, some of them.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah. And to return a little bit to your thoughts about the label and in the beginning, what were the kind of releases you were doing to start with?
Okay. The first release was with myself. And at that point I thought that, okay, I will do one release each month and it will be sold out in a couple of months. And that was my like, idea of having a record label. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that that was not the way.
It was not realistic?
No, it was not realistic. Mm. I was super naive also, but I think that was a good way to be because I thought every release would be super famous and sell so much copies. Mm-hmm. And I was really angry because, okay, some of them were selling pretty good. Mm. So I thought, okay, the next release, this must be the one. Mm-hmm. Or the next release, or the next release. And that's the way now also. Mm. That's why maybe I release so many releases. But of course we have artists like Motormännen or Bottevik and Silverkyrka that being Grammy nominee and Petri Gold. Mm. So, and for me, those releases are the same good as all the others. Mm. But some of them went more viral or public, got more attention.
Yes.
So, yeah, and I like the spectra of this to have like super limited cassette releases with 20 or 30 copies.
Right, right.
To more like Motormännen are always selling a lot of vinyls. And, to have the spectra and.
You're very format friendly. You like releasing in all formats, from what I see, or most.
For now, I listen to the music, and I believe that a certain release have their best way in formats.
Right.
Some releases are just digital, or some of them are like super. This must be on vinyl because the audience love this kind of music on vinyls.
Exactly.
And the cassette label is more, the cassette audience maybe more open-minded for like you know, avant-garde, more experimental sounds. And but most of the releases are out there on digital platforms also. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. And you also have, I guess the cassette label might be one of them, but you do have sub-labels like the Acid one as well, right?
Acid Lamour, yes.
Yes.
From the beginning, I wanted to have like a very broad spectra of different style that I release because when I listen to music myself, I listen to like both ambient music, club, techno house, all the different kind, even jazz or noise sometimes. Mm. And I thought the audience, everyone does the same. So I think I release everything on Lamour Records. But I noticed that when I started the Acid Lamour as a sub-label, with it was a strict format. It was limited on vinyls for 3 months first.
Yeah.
303 copies.
Yes, yes.
And it's DJ-friendly, four tracks, no artwork except from the center label. So it was really strict format for each releases. And maybe I should do that more, like different sub labels with different themes.
Yeah.
So maybe have some ideas of like Nordic ambient series with Nordic artists. Different kind of themes. But the Acid L'Amour label, it was easy to promote because this is vinyls dedicated to DJs.
Yeah.
So it was like pure DJ promotion. So, and we have released 4 records so far, and we have a 5th in the pipeline. So.
Okay, great, great. No, it seems like, as you say, it's more easy to communicate when it's a very, very clear format like that, to maybe even to find its audience as well. Because I guess, as you say, you have 150 releases so far, so just sifting through that is quite a job.
Yes, it is. So.
And what would you say after the first releases and moving forward in time a little bit, what did you learn as the label founder, and what did you change your approach? Or you said you were naive in the beginning. Has that changed now? And how has it changed?
No, it's the same now. And, I know more what I want with each release now, and can communicate with the artist much more, because I know how the release will end in some way, and talk about more how to plan the release, and where to promote it, and also like the track list of the tracks and the formats, and I also learned that to be super transparent with the artist and be totally honest is super important to make the artist feel feel safe, and they can trust each other, because it's not often that kind of much money in the process, but sometimes you get into the like official Spotify playlist,
right?
And then it's really a lot of money, and then it's important you have the contract, and everything is
of course
super transparent, and make the artist feel safe, and also that me as a label owner
of
feel
course.
Safe.
Yeah,
so the artist, we are in it together.
Of course, of course. Like you say, you're working with so many different artists, so it's important to have some kind of framework like that, right?
And many of the artists are my friends, and close friends, so even there is even more important also.
And what would you say the reception was locally for you? You and the roster of your label has played a lot locally as well, right? You mentioned that maybe the scene has even grown over the last decade or so. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Many of your guests earlier in this spot has played in Gävle also.
Yes.
So it's not only like a scene for us, made by us for us.
Exactly.
We have always, Gävle as a town has always had a connection out to the world. And of course, out connection to like Stockholm and Malmö.
Yeah.
But we also produced clubs in Berlin, London, and Prague, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have the exchange of both artists and ideas. Maybe the ideas is most important to just don't sit in your own bubble. You must, and that's important to book artists from all around Sweden in the world to make Gävle a part of the world and the world a part of Gävle. So it's super important. So not just being like our own little bubble to be a part of the global electronic scenes.
That's super important. And at the same time, you were also running a record store Am I getting that right?
A small one. Yeah.
A small record store. Could you tell me a little bit about the record store and what kind of stuff you can find there and how?
It started 5 years ago. Mm. And at that point, it was the world's smallest record store. It was an in-house art exhibition place. Mm-hmm. So it was only, really small.
Yeah.
And my idea from the beginning was to find all Swedish label that releases some kind of electronic music. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was super easy because I thought I knew all of them.
Right,
all of them.
Right.
But it never ends. It's not only the labels, it's just all the do-it-yourself releases.
Exactly.
And at this point, we have around, I think, 2,000 titles in the shop.
Wow.
And it's from Swedish labels or artists. Some of them releases on foreign labels also.
Yes, yes.
Today we are in-house cafe, culture cafe.
Okay.
So it's growing all the time.
So it's like you can go record shopping and get a coffee and that whole thing together.
Yes. Oh, and
that's perfect.
I'm not their person.
Yeah.
But sometimes, of course, I'm there drinking coffee all the time. Mm-hmm. So, and it's in one way, it's been fantastic because you have got contact with so many person in
that's
Sweden
that
are part of this big electronic scene. Mm. And even if some releases, I may think that, okay, this will not sell so good, but I buy them anyway because I want to be a part of the scene.
Exactly.
And you never
know. You want it to be represented for someone who might be looking for that, right?
Yes. Mm. So if you heard about the new Swedish release, you should check our store.
Yeah.
Probably we have the release there.
Do you also sell online or only physical in the store?
Online also.
Online. Yeah. So like on Discogs or...
Discogs or shop.lamour.se.
Okay. Cool. Because I think a lot of people might have a hard time getting into the scene here or the Swedish electronic music, as you say, because also often a lot of people release on foreign labels as well and things like that. So it's always great to have like a place where everything is collected, I think.
And also like big labels like Studio Barnhus, we have the same distribution that sometimes I could buy all the big labels also.
Yeah.
And some of the big labels I have personal contact with. And some via the distributions.
That is perfect.
If you're who's watching this, have some releases that you can't find in our store, please send us an email.
Yes, we'll be sure to add everything in the description here for them. And could you tell us a little bit some stories, maybe just for fun, like for an instance, you mentioned Motormännen. Could you tell me how you came in contact with them and... how that came to be, the first release with them?
Yeah, it was when we had the club L'Amour at Fylkingen here in Stockholm. We searched for artists via a community called 99 Musik. Mm-hmm. And there were actually, from the beginning, most of the artists that was not living in Gävle, we found via the club L'Amour and via 99 Musik. Mm-hmm. So Motormännen played at our club. I don't know which year this was. Mm. But at that point, they had released a cassette on Xeon Light.
Okay.
After I met them and saw them live, it was the beginning when I started to release vinyls. So I said to them that I want to release your next album on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and they got nominated in Manifest Galan. Mm-hmm. And after that, we have just kept on collaborate. Mm. And also the first cassette that was released on Xeon Light, we did a reissue on vinyl.
Okay,
later on.
Cool.
Mm. And for now, we have a digital single in pipeline, and also I don't know if I can tell this, but it's a video collection.
Okay, cool.
With all their music videos.
Exciting. Yeah. That's very exciting. They, I think they have a special place for sure within the electronic scene with all their type of sampling and, mm-hmm. and whatnot and following. So that's super exciting news. What about some others, like for instance, I know Maneten, we mentioned that pre-recording as well. Could you tell me a little bit about your relationship? And
he's a crazy producer because he's produced so much music.
Mm.
He's an old friend of me, mm-hmm. and we started the L'Amour podcast together. He's worked at Swedish radio earlier. And have released a lot of music in different names earlier mm-hmm. also.
Mm.
And he released his debut album as Maneten 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer he released two more albums.
Mm-hmm.
And
two albums in the same summer.
Yeah, in the same summer. And this winter, there was a lot of remixes from Art Alfie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Paradisväg and a lot more. And 1 month ago, he released a double EP.
Okay.
Like, it's like an album, but mm-hmm. he called it a double EP.
Yeah.
And yesterday, we got the new master for an upcoming album.
Amazing. So what's behind all that productivity?
I don't know. I think he bought a house and have the studio in the mm-hmm. at the basement and,
mm-hmm.
and are super productive. Mm. And also we have a really great way to communicate because if there's some artists that I argue a lot with, it's Maneten.
Okay. Yeah. Mm.
So he sends a lot of music to me and we have an ongoing discussion on how to produce or how to present them as an album EP, or should it be a remix EP and everything. So it's
you have different opinions, but you think that is a good thing. That's correct. Or
I think I'm always right at the end.
But sometimes we do as he says also.
Mm. Like I would not release two albums the same summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's from the label point of view. Yeah. I guess it's the dream for many artists as well to be able to do something like that. Sometimes the lead times can be crazy. You have to wait 2 years just because.
Yeah. And also he don't want to release it on vinyls.
Mm.
He want the direct digital releases.
Yeah.
So, and it's really a great discography
mm-hmm.
and I don't see any end of the production.
Mm. And for a novice who's just discovering L'Amour records, if you could choose kind of three records for them to start with, which ones would you recommend?
Okay, we have a lot of ambient releases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would recommend Marianergraven mm-hmm. by AKB.
AKB, yes.
It's a super great release on mm-hmm. Any way you can think. It's
I love that record.
Great concept and everything. And then I would recommend Bottenviken Silverkyrka, the album 303 Enigheten.
Mm-hmm.
The one that got nominated for Grammy and P3.
Okay.
And it's actually a cassette release.
Okay.
So part of the song has been released as vinyl EPs earlier, mm-hmm. but actually the one that got the Grammy nominee was a cassette release.
Wow. That can't be common in this day and age.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. It's digital also. So.
Yeah, of course. But
100 copies, and there's still some copies left. So
really? Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. Mm.
And the last one... I think you should listen to Ulf Ivarsson's solo album Lower mm-hmm. Zone. Mm-hmm. They came out last spring, and it's a concept album played with only different kinds of bass, electric bass, electronic bass.
Oh, really? That's such a interesting concept.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of blues, it's a little bit of jazz, electronic, ambient, mm-hmm. but unique in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that it's a new record coming up that sounds absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. So for now on, you can listen to
that's
the
a good
album
start.
Lower Zone by Ulf Ivarsson.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
Yeah.
That's I think that's a good start when you have 150 releases to choose from. And in this time, in this age, what is your kind of plan with the label? Do you have a plan for the label in the future, or is it kind of open? How are you thinking about running a record label in the like the coming 5 years?
I have a plan. I have the plan for many years, actually.
Mm.
And for now on, I have a plan for 1 year, 3 year, and 5 year.
Yeah.
With different like stages that I want to apply. And of course, I want to release more releases that got attention.
Yeah.
It don't have to be Grammy nominated, but
yeah.
It was really fun to go to the Grammy. So
of course.
Like, and to get that attention.
Yeah. And I guess the impact also
So I want to the label to grow a lot, not only in Sweden, but also in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the world is getting back to some normal again, I would like to do more concerts and clubs abroad. Yeah. So actually last March 2020, we had some concerts planned in England and Germany.
Okay, so, yeah.
And also work more with concerts in Gävle or here in Stockholm. We had bought like flight tickets and the hotels for many artists that we canceled. So I hope to take on that again.
Mm.
Work more, not only as a label, as a manager and book concerts and tours.
Of course.
The artist connected to L'Amour, of course, and also book other artists to visit Sweden, Gävle, Stockholm, and so
on. Of course, to create this kind of exchange, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And just for fun, like you've been playing abroad many times as well, and do you have a favorite place to play or a favorite memory where you played that was special to you?
The biggest moment for me so far, I think it was in Gävle.
Yeah. Excellent.
It was a crazy project. You know, we have a big Christmas goat in Gävle that are pretty famous.
Right, a big goat that people burn every year. Right?
Mm-hmm. So each year they they have a what's called like the introduction of the goat, and it's more or less famous artists come and play, and always it ends with great fireworks.
Oh right, yeah, it's like a big ceremony.
Yeah,
right?
It's a big ceremony with great fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 years ago, they decided we don't want fireworks anymore, but we must have something.
Yeah.
And I got the mission.
Okay.
To be the firework.
Okay.
And it was.
And in what way?
In a musical.
In a musical sense. Yeah.
So I had a big lightning company that was connected with me, and they gave me 5 minutes to replace the fireworks with something special.
Right.
And I did like a 5 minute super mega mashup with the music that I knew was super much energy and big impacts.
Yeah.
And I connected some dancers and. And it was 18,000 people in the audience.
Okay. And did you do like a light show as well somehow?
Yeah.
Or
It was a lightning. I had the dancers and also I had some samples. I started it with a sample Arthur Brown, like the same sample as Prodigy, sample on Fire.
Right.
I'm the god of hellfire. Yes. I bring you. But and also had some Daft Punk Burning, but I didn't tell anyone.
No. You just added it. Yeah.
So the one who knew the sound is okay. It's Daft Punk Burning.
Yeah.
But you're super not allowed to talk about anything that has something to do with fire.
Yeah.
Anything. So
did someone burn the goat that year?
No, it has.
So that got maybe burned. Was that got protected somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hmm. Oh, that's a great memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I was thinking about your collaboration with Akobea. How did that start? Because I know she's been in your podcast.
Yes.
As well, and she's a local artist.
Yes. Close friend.
Yes.
Me and I don't know how it started. It was not so many years ago. Mm-hmm. She is part of the like indie pop scene in Gävle, and toured a lot in Asia and the US.
Okay.
So it's into the like the music scene.
Mm.
And she released an EP 2016, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marianne Graven was released
last spring.
Last spring. So, and she has been a guest on L'Amour podcasts many times. So when we did like podcast 2.0, we have five program leaders now.
Okay, so okay, yeah.
Akobea is one of the ordinary
presenters. Yes. Okay, cool. That's great for anyone. And it's in that one is in Swedish,
yeah,
right? Just to make let people know. But that's excellent. And one thing that also I got a little bit interested in is, since you know you're running this very ambitious record shop, and you touched upon like when you started your label, you were into all of this French music and stuff. How did you get into kind of digging and getting obsessed about the electronic music to start with? Like, what ignited that flame?
Oh, as long as I remember, I always love electronic music. I have an older brother who made music on an old Amiga computer.
Cool.
So, and also I went to the like local, what's called, youth club. And I love all the disco lights and the technique behind the DJ booth. I was super interested in of that. So I have a dream for many years to start DJing.
Yeah.
And when I started, I think I was 17 year or something, I became obsessed with finding records. Like it was on CD at that time. Then I went forward on vinyls.
Yeah.
Then I went back to CD and now digital. And for now, I'm hooked on 7-inch vinyls.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
So because I
like a lot of is it like Jamaican stuff then, or what is it? No, like no, what can it be? Anything.
Anything. Yeah. And
like 50s oldies stuff or like anything new.
House music. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't know if I'm don't want to carry around all the like the big 12 inches. So it's pretty easy to have like your small box with maybe 40, 50 records.
7-inch records. Of course, of course. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So and some of the records I have on like 12-inch, and now I also bought them on 7-inch. And maybe I bought the MP3 from the beginning, so that's
right.
I'm a good customer for some labels.
That's super interesting. I haven't, I don't have that much. I have a few releases on 7-inch, but I haven't been too much into that scene, but that's nice. Yeah,
yeah. I like it. It's also, you have the limitation of the format. I like that because I like to mix pretty fast. So you don't have like the long intros and long blended mix. So yeah, it's pretty direct. And also you must need some DJ technique like scratch and turntable skills that I like. So
that's right, because you're really into that as well.
Yeah, I'm not
turntablism.
So good. Turntablist, but not that like scratch. I'm not so good at that one, but more experiment with. I have at the moment a setup of 10 turntables, and I use them all the 10 at the same time.
Oh, really? Wow!
So it's a way of turntablism, but it's more like live production. You take like a drone from one and a kick drum for some, and the sample voices from some other.
I think back in the days or whatever, I think DJ Shadow had kind of a live show with this kind of setup as well. That was super interesting. And maybe that was also, he used a lot of 7-inches. I'm not sure, but I do have some recollection of that. And that was a really, really cool project.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, for sure. I know I had a concert ticket for that show, but there happened something right before the gig, like something fell off from the roof and then it got canceled.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. So in the beginning, which were your influences around this time, would you say? Not just speaking about formats.
It was, of course, Peter Dance with Kalle Danulf.
Yes.
It was to live in a smaller city. You know, we went to Stockholm to buy records.
Yeah.
And then when you were in the record store, you try to remember what music Kalle was playing in the radio show.
Mm.
It was a huge impact.
Mm.
But also, like big art, I mean, the Prodigy and Carl Cox is my absolute favorite DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's since day one always stood there in the DJ booth on the stage with a big smile in his face and always deliver some super skilled techno set. Or now during the pandemic, he's streaming from his home in Melbourne. I think it's pure happiness to see. So. Real inspiration.
I love that when you can transmit that kind of positive energy into your sets and into the music and kind of transmit that. And not everyone has that ability either.
And he has.
Yes.
The king.
Yes. So I guess that's something you're putting into your work as well. As you say, with the community and everything, it's about building up some kind of optimistic or positive approach.
Yes, it's super important because... I don't know why not everybody is working with that because it's each day will get so much better and luckier when you have happy people around you and you help each other and stay positive in any way.
Mm.
Even if it's a hard time, of course, and there are a lot of problems to be solved, but I always think of the good-hearted people and everybody... Mm. Wants to do their best.
Of course.
Super important.
And would you say there's a lot of up and coming producers and artists right now as well coming from Gävle, as you can see it as a local? Or?
Yeah, I found new ones all the time. Maybe not so young, but it's maybe the older people has go from rock and pop to more experimental.
Right.
And sometimes the result is more avant-garde jazz style or sometimes it's more into ambient.
Mm.
But we have some young artists like Axel E, for example.
Okay.
So who's produced proper EDM, EDM being played by like Axel Ingrosso, Martin Garrix and all the big names.
Mm.
So he's always have new stuff coming up. So.
All right. Mm.
So he's a really, really good young producer from Gävle.
He's based in Gävle as well. Excellent. And do you have any other interesting tidbits you could tell us about the label or what's going on?
Oh, we have a lot of releases in pipeline. Mm-hmm. Have one with myself and the artist Pro 424.
Okay, yeah.
We have a project called Gävle Stockholm Dub.
Excellent.
So it's in mix. It's the album is mixed in Mount Liberation Unlimited Studio.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. And it's a slow tempo dub, electronic dub, with a lot of space echo.
Okay, super exciting.
So it will be released on a marbled record in a couple of months, I think. It's the next vinyl release from L'Amour.
Excellent.
And I'm really proud because I have listened to it myself many times and I really like the sound. It's a record for listening. Of course, you can DJ and for dance floor, but the main purpose is to, it's a pure listening. And, and it just goes on and so.
Mm. And how has your collaboration, since this is a collaborative record, how has that collaboration been for you?
He filled his car with all his synths and went to Gävle. Mm. And we stayed in the studio for one weekend.
Yes.
And I remember that we were up all night. Mm. I think it was 7 or 8 in the morning. We have been up all night, and just we pressed the record button. It was like a 10 or 11 hours concert. So it was just, and then we cut the different pieces and go into the studio and do the final proper mix of it, and did some overdubs and so on. So I'm really proud of that record.
And how did you decide to go with this kind of dubby, space echoey sound? Like,
oh, I love the dub scene and the space echo. I'm not so good at melodies. I'm better to like get the right kind of sounds and atmosphere in the music. And Max, who's his real name, is really great to have his program his synths so in or play the right tones.
So
it was and I
like a good match.
It's a good match, and I had the drum machine and all the non-melodic machines, like the space echo drum machine and so on. So it was a good combination.
And what kind of like drum machines were you working on? Just to
It's a Roland's TR-8.
Okay.
New, the new classic.
Right. Right. One of the newer ones. Cool.
So and so, but I don't have so many like synths, and I have more turntables and records in my studio than synths of grandmother and Dave Smith synths. So, but because I'm not so good to play, so I'm more into like doing the sounds from samples and.
The producing part of things.
Working more on equalizer and compressor, maybe.
No, but I mean, that's one of the most important parts of the process. So you feel you're more of the on the producer side when it comes to that, more than a player yourself.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That would be super exciting. And it's in an album format and it's vinyl as well.
Yeah. We haven't decided yet if it should be a vinyl only release in the beginning, or that we will release it digital at the same time. In the end, it will, of course, be a digital, but in the beginning, it's also 100 copies from the vinyl, so it's a little bit limited.
That's very limited. Yeah. So that might. How would you do that? Would you do that just through your own web shop then, or how would it go about? Do you know?
At the moment, I'm in the middle of the change of international distribution. And in Sweden, we have like Bengals distribution.
Oh, right.
So, but mostly of the L'Amour releases, we sell through our own web shop.
So. Yeah.
Or if I'm running around in the record stores here in Stockholm. And
of course, you can. Put them up here. Do you have any favorite record stores here in Stockholm as well?
Snickers.
Of course.
They are outstanding.
Yes.
And also when they have like their live venues there for release parties and so on.
Yeah.
So they are the best.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. Excellent. So I think we've discussed a lot of interesting things regarding your label and so on. So maybe I think that's the time for us for this episode.
Thank you so much for
thank you so much for coming here, and that was episode 15 of Electronic Talks. If you want to know more about L'Amour Records, we are putting all the links in the description, and we'll also link the separate albums that we mentioned so that you can buy them or get them on vinyl or cassette or whatnot. So thanks for tuning in this week, and see you again next week.